नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We'll continue. Starting with text 16. Canto 9, chapter 10. Shukadeva Goswami said, After constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains, whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Purport. Great mountain peaks covered with trees and plants were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space, like swabs of cotton. If this is possible, why should great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything he likes because he is not under the control of the material nature, semicolon. Material nature is controlled by him. Mayad yakshena prakriti suyate sucharacharam. Only under his direction does prakriti or material nature work. Similar information is given in Brahma Samhita. Yasya gaya brahmati samritakala chakro govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Describing how material nature works, the Brahma Samhita says that the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Lord Ramachandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean with the help of monkey soldiers who threw great mountain peaks into the water is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramachandra eternally celebrated. Text saying, after entering Lanka, the monkey soldiers led by chiefs like Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman occupied all the sporting houses, granaries, treasuries, palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace frontages, and even the resting houses of pigeons. Whew. When the city's crossroads, platforms, flags, and golden water pots on its domes were all destroyed, the entire city of Lanka appeared like a river disturbed by a herd of elephants. Text 18. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dumraksha, Dumarka, Durmukha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramachandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandha, Mada, Nila Angada, Jambavan, and Panasa attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, prasas, rishtis, shakti arrows, khadgas, and tumaras. You have no idea what they are. Text 20. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramachandra faced the elephants, infantry, horses, and chariot enemy in mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramachandra killed Ravana's soldiers who had lost all good fortune because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Purport. The soldiers Lord Ramachandra recruited in the jungle were all monkeys and did not have proper equipment with which to fight the soldiers of Ravana, for Ravana's soldiers were equipped with weapons of modern warfare, whereas the monkeys could only throw stones, mountain peaks, and trees. It was only Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana who shot some arrows, but because the soldiers of Ravana were condemned by the curse of Sita, the monkeys were able to kill them simply by throwing stones and trees. There are two kinds of strength, Daiva and Purushakara. Daiva refers to the strength achieved from the transcendence, and Purushakara refers to the strength organized by one's own intelligence and power. Transcendental power is always superior to the power of the materialist. Depending on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, one must fight one's enemies, even though one may not be equipped with modern weapons. Therefore, Krishna instructed Arjuna, Mamanusmara Yudhyacha, think of me and fight. We should fight our enemy to the best of our ability, but for victory we must depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some more about the battling. Text 21. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramachandra, who sat on it, brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramachandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramachandra said to Ravana, "You are the most abominable of the man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog. For as a dog steals eatables from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnap my wife Sita Devi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you." Purport. Nacha Daivat Param Balam. No one can surpass the strength of the transcendence. Ravana was so sinful and shameless that he did not know what the result would be of kidnapping Mother Sita, the pleasure potency of Ramachandra. This is the disqualification of the Rakshasas. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram. The Rakshasas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is the ruler of the creation. They think that everything has come about by chance or accident, and that there is no ruler, king, or controller. Therefore, the Rakshasas act independently as they like, going even so far as to kidnap the goddess of fortune. This policy of Ravana's is extremely dangerous for the materialist, Indeed, it brings ruin to the materialistic civilization. Nonetheless, because atheists are Rakshasas, they dare do things that are most abominable, and thus they are fail. Religion consists of the orders of the Supreme Lord, and one who carries out these orders is religious. One who fails to carry out the Lord's orders is irreligious, and he is to be punished. War battle. Text 23. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:21, it is said, Chine punya marcha lokam vishanti. When the results of their pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruit of activities of the material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches to repeated birth and death somehow or other. Ravana was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom with all material opulences, but because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. After the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in your state of freedom, designation, sarvapati vinirmuktam, tatparatvina nirmalam. When one is fixed in devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions, but when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Ravana, or those like him, may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position because, after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. Karmana daivanetrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakate kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. Okay, so Ravana's finished. The whole army of Ravana is finished. Lessons. So, some lessons. Of course, there's emphasis specifically, again and again, on the curse of Sita, or having offended the goddess of fortune, Sita, or any great personality. But Ravana was extremely bad, wicked, punishable, long before kidnapping Sita. As we discussed, the demigods were very concerned. They admonished Lord Brahma, "You gave him benedictions, and now he's invincible, and he's a terrorist, and we can't do anything about it. And we're to give protection to the whole universe, so please do something. He was, and the atrocities of Ravana were long-standing. He lived a long life. Very bad. So, not just Sita, but emphasis, and other personalities he offended, one after the next. So brazen. He even offended Lord Shiva. He was later excused by Lord Shiva, but terrible person. Abominable. It's just exactly as Ram said, and fit to be punished. So the punishment, Prabhupada doesn't emphasize this, but it's the fact, the punishment of a wicked person from the hands of a good person, Ram, is for the benefit of the wicked person. It's also for the protection of other innocent people, but it's for the benefit of the wicked person. The reactions to sins when someone is given capital punishment, then like put to death by whatever the means, here by battle, it's good for the other person. Moralists don't understand these things, and war sounds really bad, because during the course of war many people are killed, innocent people as well, and it's tumult. Now, major is a big difference between dharma yudha, religious fighting, and what goes on today. What goes on today is Prabhupada's statement, since the Kurukshetra battle, there has not been one religious war. Every other war is based on sense gratification, territorial identification on the bodily platform, fighting over resources, and so not even about ideologies. It's self-centered and extended self-centered, like dogs barking. So Ram's words are very strong to Ravana. You're like a dog. You're like stool. You're to be punished. He's mentioning specifically Ravana's kidnapping of Sita. He doesn't need to mention all the other abominable atrocities, and all of them are equally justifying his being punished. But this one is the top one getting attention, and the specific reason for Ram coming to Lanka to destroy the entire army of Ravana. These the meetings, generals, all the persons that were cohorts in the crime of Ravana, even Kumbhakarna took the position of opposing Ravana's move to kidnap Sita. When Ravana was called his assembly, hearing that the massive soldiers of Ram were approaching, he called an assembly, what to do. Kumbhakarna said, why are you asking after the fact? You said ask before the fact. Now because of your wrongdoing, the whole kingdom is in difficulty. And really the right thing to do is return Sita. but I know that you're too attached. That's why you did what you did. So you're not really asking for advice. You're doing it the wrong way. You're not really asking for advice. But you're my brother. And so my loyalty goes with you as my brother. So I'll fight on your behalf. Now, many of the others, there's like a whole variety of responses. Many of the others didn't have that sense. Interesting, Kumbhakarna had that sense. And others advised, certainly Vibhishan advised, but Ravana couldn't hear. Not really seeking advice. It's an act of diplomacy, but not really seeking advice, just to fire up the men, to say, yeah, you're the hero, we're by your side. Bottom line is, too much attached. So the emphasis that we heard last night from Hanuman's prayers is one who is too much attached to female association. And I was thinking to say this last night, but it worked the other way. Female association, too much attached to male association brings trouble. It's spoken of from a male perspective, but Prabhupada in places, more than one, indicates when these statements are made, it's not just gender specific, it works the opposite for the other party. When there's too much attachment to association with the opposite sex, too much attachment, too much affinity for the enjoying spirit, then misery is coming. So Ram wanted to teach that, but just look and see what miserable circumstances have come to Ravana for his too much attachment. Too much. Terrible. Abominable. This Shine Punye Marcha Lokam Vishanti verse. How did Prabhupada doesn't detail, somehow or other Ravana became very opulent and powerful. Well, that somehow or other had to do with his birth from a qualified Brahmana and training from that qualified, the qualified Brahmana father trained Ravana in the scriptures. He knew the scriptures, and with that comes some merit. And benediction from Lord Shiva, intense austerities. And so he had kriti, but he misused it. So demons can also have opulence. Demons can also have knowledge. Not only, you know, how to destroy things, they can understand what appears to be Vedic standards. A common one that comes up is Jarasandha. He was known as being very charitable to Brahmanas. That's why Krishna decided, let's go disguised as Brahmanas. And even Jarasandha could understand, these aren't Brahmanas, they're just men disguised as Brahmanas. He still was charitable. Whatever you like. So, demons may do things that make them strong, and that's their interest. It's austerity in the mode of ignorance, because they want, like Vrikasura, or and so many, they engage in austerity so they get some kriti, and then they want to misuse it for some destructive, atheistic purposes. That's the somehow or other someone becomes. So when those pious activities are gone, and certainly one who is sinful and atheistic by nature, very quickly those merits are exhausted and one falls. The verse in Bhagavad Gita is one falls from the heavenly realm, but one can fall from whatever one's position to an abominable position. Pride has the tendency to have one think of oneself as invulnerable, but no one is in nature. The pious or the impious, no one is invulnerable to the laws of nature. Krishna is himself, so repeated in multiple ways, Krishna is above those modes of nature. If Krishna is speaking those angry words, it's transcendental. It's fulfilling his position as the protector of the living entities who are his parts and parcels, headed by the demigods and all the others who are tormented by Ravana. He's the protector. And so he's reciprocating. He's reciprocating with Ravana as much as he's reciprocating with the demigods. With Ravana, he's a Duskriti, and he delivers the Duskriti. He frees him from the reactions of all of his misdeeds by killing him. A lot of misdeeds. There's regularly in these matters of battles the list of the soldiers on this side and the list of soldiers on that side. Long list, lots of names. I remember for the first time and first several times reading chapter 1 Bhagavad Gita, and it was tough because who are all these people? And each of them, as one comes to know from Mahabharata or from Ramayana, these different personalities, they're, in terms of the demon kings and demon generals, they're of different varieties of moods of demoniac spirit. They are emblematic or representative of different moods. They personify different moods of atheism. And they're all destroyed. They're all destroyed. Either Ram directly or Ram's associates destroy them one by one by one. Some very, very powerful. Indrajit, very, very powerful. Destroyed. So whatever the kriti that makes one powerful, destroyed. Self-destroyed because of their heinous activities and or being in the company of those who are of heinous nature. One loses one's own kriti, merit, just by the association of bad people. Even if one doesn't do something, one's assisting and associating with one who does bad things, and you lose your merit. So, destroyed. The last point of emphasis is the monkeys didn't have sophisticated weapons compared to an army that has all sophisticated weapons. So how were they to fight? But they fought according to their capacity. And because they had the spiritual potency of Lord Ramachandra, they were victorious. So, similarly, I mean, we devotees have at their disposal lots of resources, meaning sophisticated technology and abundant wealth and material powers that supersede anything that we as devotees have. So we're not doing literal battle, but where we have a cause of awakening Krishna consciousness in the lives of people who have all these tools and toys and power and distraction and absorption. So it's a big challenge that the mission of giving Krishna consciousness to a world that's demoniac or overly influenced by sense gratification and engaged in fruitive activities to facilitate the sense gratification. It's a major challenge. Nonetheless, the devotee, with confidence and courage, goes forward, not foolishly, but confidently, to know that spiritual strength surpasses material strength. That's how we as devotees conduct our lives in this world. If we don't have that faith, it's pretty scary. But whether we're trying to propagate Krishna consciousness or just live in the world, it requires faith as a devotee. And Mahaprabhu has given us, Bhagavatam has also given us these standards of compassion, and what you have received you give to others in a liberal and conscious way. And there's strength in that effort. Mission impossible becomes possible because of spiritual strength. Nothing is impossible where there's spiritual strength. Spiritual strength overcomes the material laws. That's a faith of the devotee. Krishna helps his devotee in all these different ways. Hare Krishna. Any comments or discussion?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I'm sure Ravana would know about the position of Lord Ramachandra or Krishna.
Ravana would do what?
Know the position of Lord Vishnu.
He would know the position of Vishnu. But he saw Vishnu as his enemy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just trying to relate to, I mean, Hiranyakashipu's pastime, Prahlad Maharaj. Mm. When Hiranyaksha was killed, so Hiranyakashipu was, trying to console her mother, saying about the position of super soul and all. So even after knowing all these things, what makes one so demoniac and envious? So
well, you said, your premise is he must have known the position of Lord Vishnu, but one who is in opposition to, one who is demoniac by nature, one cannot see properly. Ravana didn't see the position of Ramchandra as Lord Vishnu. Like Hiranyakashipu, who saw Lord Vishnu as an enemy. I'm the most powerful. Now, it's irrational. He got benediction from Brahma, which means even Brahma is more powerful than him. But he's thinking, because he's demoniac, now I'm invincible. It's irrational. But knowledge, mayaya pratigana, knowledge is stolen by illusion. When one is an illusion. So he couldn't see properly. He can't see himself, and can't see the soul, and can't see the Supreme properly, and anything else under the jurisdiction of the Supreme, which is everything. It's just intoxicated with self-importance, in his case. So It's an assumption. The premise of your question is an assumption that doesn't match reality. He had some idea, whatever that some idea was, because he was knowledgeable in the scripture. But he certainly didn't take himself as being subordinate to or dependent upon. And that's the opposite of the devotee. The devotee is feeling dependent upon. when doing anything. He didn't feel dependent upon anyone. Again, although it's irrational, because he underwent austerity so he could get benediction from Brahma, to someone more powerful. It's irrational. Pride. So, does that address your question?
Yes, Maharaj. I mean, just a follow-up to that, if I can ask. So, even in our current days, we see that, even people becoming like so nice devotees, becoming envious and all. Not able to follow or becoming very proud and envious. What is
that happens? It happens even with devotees. What to speak of non-devotees?
How we should be very careful?
Yeah, we should be very careful. Not how. Well, you want to know how or? Just hear it again. Yes, we should be very careful. So the how is recognizing there's great danger. Padam padam yadi padam natesham. This is a very dangerous place. Because we have a tendency to be an independent enjoyer. That's what brings us here. And so a little success, a little opulence, and one wants to be the enjoyer of that little success, little opulence, and become proud. It's a tendency. Any conditioned soul, it's a tendency. So we should be very cautious and careful about it, because it's a tendency. Sudama, when he returned back to his home, he understood, Krishna knows my tendency. If he gave me something, I'd just become attached to that something. And then I'd forget him. And I'd become proud, just see, I'm very special. I have this. So, he was particularly renounced already. It was his commentary, the Bhagavatam commentary says there's two kinds of renunciation. Renunciation out of fear of becoming attached, and renunciation just because one is inclined that way. And so Dhamma was just inclined that way. So he didn't want, for both reasons, he'll become proud. But when the opulence did come, he didn't become proud. In part because he was attached, primarily because he's attached to his mood of being Krishna's servant. And he already had this detachment, you know, spirit. So, back to the question. How to avoid pride is a mood of humility and service. Something comes, it belongs to the person who sent it. And it should be used with gratitude in service to the person who sent it. Krishna may be entrusting me with some facility, some ability, some wealth, some something. And use that in his service. I'm having this dialogue with one devotee who is entertaining their devotee, entertaining going on to graduate school, and they're kind of on the fence about, you know, materialistic knowledge. And so the different persons have different advice is important or relevant for different persons, but one should not, if that's how the thing is seen, then you stay away. But it's not, it can be seen as facility for Krishna's service. And if it's seen as a facility for Krishna's service, then certainly we can accept it. Now, is there a risk? Yes. Is there a risk in saying no? Yes. Being in the material world is a risk. Choose your risk. It's more a matter of what is one's nature and how to best serve Krishna according to one's nature. Then there is protection from pride. Or the flip side, you know, just aversion. And neither is in the position of shelter. So the humble mood of being Krishna's servant, that's the protection from pride. Otherwise, it's a risky place. Are you proud that you got a haircut? Yeah? I just commented and he had long bushy hair and said, I think you look nicer if you got your hair cut. So he did. Just see. One can be proud even by being renounced. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So in Ramayana, the classic example, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan. So often in society, I heard, giving the example of Vibhishan, how he went away from the Ravana.
Yeah.
And Kumbhakarna chose to be loyal, but Vibhishana chose to be other way. So how do we understand in society the loyalty versus choosing the other Ravana?
How do we understand in society should we be Vibhishan or Kumbhakarna?
In that, on that perspective.
Well, it depends on the situation. But if someone is abominable, we're not loyal to an abominable person. He knew what was right, but he didn't do what was right because he placed loyalty above what is right. No, we don't trash loyalty, but we don't place loyalty above what's right. You know, a deeper picture may be he's Vijaya. And he was, his commitment to the personality Godhead was to give him a tussle. So he was doing his service. The Kumbhakarna tussle. But that's at, you know, a deeper level, just as far as our practical lesson. We, as I've already stated, we don't place loyalty above anything else. Yeah.
You said Lanka, he went back to Rama, and they went back to Lanka. How did Lanka be not there? Because Hanuman wished Lanka was there.
Hanuman
always
went to Lanka.
Yeah. Well, they rebuilt it. And it was, there's, many things were made of gold that doesn't burn. They rebuilt it. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.